Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome to the Dogs Podcast. Let's kick this thing off.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another live episode of the Dogs. Remember to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Please head on over to YouTube, check out our page, and subscribe. Our YouTube page is picking up in popularity a little bit, so you don't want to be missing out on that trend. We were served a slice of humble pie this week. We're still sitting at 4-2.
We ate the whole pie.
Yeah, we got a lot of season ahead of us.
In our face.
You know,
agreed.
So we're just going to dive right into this game because I think we got a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, normally we do what went right, what went wrong. And when I was trying to think of, you know, the outline for today, I was like, the only thing that went right, there wasn't really anything that went. We didn't wreck the bus on
the
way.
Yeah, we got to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and we made it home okay. Yeah. So I was like, well, let's just talk about the game. You know, I feel like there's some things we need to discuss. So, you know, not much went right. A lot went wrong. So let's just dive into it. The first thing I got here is, you know, we've seen a lot of things in the national media and myself kind of bashing Baker. And I just want to start by saying, by no means am I putting this all on Baker. Am I panicking for the season? Am I saying bench Baker? No. You know, it's a prove it year for Baker, not a prove it six games for Baker. So where do we stand with him? I know my opinion. I know some of your guys' opinions. What do you guys think?
So for you listeners out there that are tuning in, you didn't see how hot this room got before we went on air. A lot of different opinions. Do I think Baker played great? No. Nope. Do I think he put us in a position to win the game? No. Nope. I don't think that it was all on him. Whether it was we were missing Taylor or not, our offensive line was just garbage from really the first time they went on the field until the end. We didn't do anything that we saw we had success with. And credit the Steelers and their game plan. They do this to us every year.
Yeah.
When we think that we're going to be in a game. They do this not just to the Browns. They do it to almost every team they play. They have one of the best coaches and one of the best defenses in the game. So Steelers fans that want to get rid of Mike Tomlin, he's just...
You guys are crazy.
Yeah. It's nuts. Yeah. There's not a team that you come in... I don't know if I've ever really watched a game that the Steelers have played, whether it's against Cleveland or another team where I'm like, man, they just weren't prepared today. And I feel like that's where I think we went into that game and Stefanski. And, you know, I don't think that he went in. I think he went in with a game plan, and when it went out the window, he was like, I don't know what I do. Against this defense. And credit, it's his first game as a head coach to have to make that type of stuff on the fly when your quarterback isn't playing great.
Yep. To go on your point, what we've done well is we've ran the ball really successfully and then taken opportunities downfield. Well, turns out their front seven is very, very legit. And we knew that going in, probably the best defense in the league. That's just my opinion. They literally got killers everywhere, and they sent them all day on us. We couldn't run the ball with Hunt. And then, like you said, I don't think they ever made an adjustment to try to do anything. And then when Baker did drop back, he got blown up. And now me and Blake have been talking for 3 days. It's a joke, but we've been literally arguing. There's probably been thousands of text messages sent back and forth, just, you know. But and credit to what, you know, he didn't look good. He didn't put us in a position. It's a typical Cleveland Browns game where all the hype comes up. Everything gets excited. Browns fans are hungry. Everybody's ready. And then I've seen this game before. And it hurts. It hurts really bad because then guess what? Facebook is just all these Steeler fans just.
Right. Armchair quarterbacks, you know, everybody watching the game. And yeah, Baker, the pick six.
Terrible.
To start the game.
There's where Stefanski had to throw his game plan out the window because you're down 10-0 in the first five minutes of the game.
Part of, I mean, Blake, you mentioned it last week. Shouldn't a part of the game plan been, hey, you see where Minka Fitzpatrick is? Let's not throw it to him.
I guarantee you Stefanski said, hey, Baker, don't throw an interception this week.
And well, obviously.
I guarantee you the game plan wasn't to attack Minka Fitzpatrick.
I agree.
Go after him. Go after him real hard.
Like, I mean, come on. We've seen this from Baker over and over and all the time.
The pick six was bad, but it was honestly for me, the second interception is what drove me nuts.
Because his decision making.
Instead of just throw the ball away or whatever, it was throw the ball up and try to make some sort of play. And it's like there were three defenders over there.
It was bad.
A good quarterback, a smart quarterback, someone who has developed and understands the game is going to get rid of that ball. I mean, I know as bad as and I'm not saying put Keenum in because didn't look great either.
Don't
but at
say
least
that.
I did see a very good veteran move from Keenum early on when he was in there. He was getting pressure. He's about to get hit. He threw the ball right at somebody's feet, like the back of the running back. They just chucked it right at the ground. I'm like, now that's a Tom Brady play.
I wouldn't say Tom Brady play. No, that's Keenum play.
I've seen Brady do that before where the play's shot. Get rid of the ball. Don't take a sack. Don't throw a pick.
I know.
Live to see another down.
The second pick. That, you know, Baker was scrambling once again for his life on the 47% of his dropbacks that he had to run because TJ Watt, and it didn't matter who it was. Anybody that was on the line, it was a cornerback, a safety, a linebacker, a DN. It felt like they were in the backfield by the time, if we were in shotgun, it was Baker was just catching the ball and somebody was in his face. And Blake, I know that you know, talking before, we should have mixed up the snap count, and that's on Baker. Yep. That's on, you know, I think that falls too on your coaching staff too, that you have to make sure that that's an emphasis. If I'm a coach, I'm making sure those things are happening, not just putting that solely on my quarterback.
This dude's a professional quarterback.
Yeah, but you're also in charge of your team.
The coaches don't call snap. This isn't Pee Wee football. You think the coach tells Aaron Rodgers, go on two
don't
this time.
Compare, no, don't compare Baker jumped. To Aaron Rodgers.
I'm comparing him to just competent NFL quarterbacks.
I'm saying that if I noticed something was going wrong, I would make a change. And I felt like we didn't make any changes.
We're playing with one hand behind our back when your quarterback can't do anything. We have a crutch. We have one style that we can win games with. One style. We have to be able to run for 6 yards a carry. We have to. Minnesota didn't run play action boot 100% of the time when Stefanski's there. It's like 40 to 50%. The other 50 to 60% of the time, your quarterback has to play from the pocket. Our quarterback cannot play from the pocket.
I don't think.
At
I'm
least
not
to this point
that.
In his career,
I'm not
he
saying
cannot
that.
Play from the pocket.
He didn't play. He couldn't play from the pocket on Sunday. I'm not saying that his whole career is defined on one game. That's just not the way I choose to look at
things. It's not one game, but he threw 20-some interceptions last year. He's thrown other interceptions this year.
For our fans out there, Blake's hard-headed when it comes to his argument. He has no gift.
For our fans out there, I got to throw this in real quick. They can't hear us, apparently.
Oh, great.
So I'm going to cut this live feed real quick, and then we're going to restart in about a minute.
Hey, thanks for coming back. We're live again. Apologize for the technical difficulties. You know, we're our own producers, our own showrunners, we're our own tech team. You know, so, you know, sometimes you're going to run into stuff like this.
Yeah, doing stuff live, this is what you can run into.
Yeah, you know, but.
We're not perfect.
No.
Neither is Baker.
We're better at our job than he is at his job right now. Obviously you guys couldn't hear us.
Maybe okay, they got us now. They can hear us.
Maybe you guys are good lip readers, but we were talking about, you know, how the game went, what we thought of Baker, where do we think we stand with him? Is he the guy going forward? You know, you guys didn't hear me say this, but I'm saying by no means do I say bench Baker this year. I'm not calling for Keenum. I'm not panicking on the season. We're 4-2. I still think the Browns, I still see 6 wins on the schedule for the Browns. We're still probably going to make the playoffs, barring a monumental collapse. my thought is if this is what we get from Baker, and I'm not talking about just this game, I'm talking about the season in general. If this is the way, as good as he can play, next year he's not going to be our quarterback.
So to touch, we talked about that too, to go against, you know, what Blake was saying, literally the two games where we've not looked like we belonged out there, we've won against two super high caliber defenses. One in Pittsburgh, who leads the league in sacks now.
Yeah, Super Bowl caliber teams.
Yeah, yeah. Basically five sacks a game. Not only do they have a crazy front seven that they literally just teed off on Baker, just sent the house everything, but Baltimore's right there too. Baltimore's the same thing, four sacks basically a game. And there's guys in the secondary, they're just standing there waiting because Baker has, we kind of talked about it, but our O-line looked terrible.
Yeah.
Literally as soon as the ball was snapped.
Yeah, so I mean, did Baker play well enough for us to win this game? Obviously, no. First drive, throwing the pick six, big play. Yep. And then the rest of the game was kind of, I mean, it was our game was defined. One, you can't turn the ball over, not against a team that's good, especially when you're not getting the turnovers back like we've been getting. So credit the Steelers for that. Their game plan, way better than ours. Their game plan said, hey, we're going to beat you up front on both sides, and they did. They ran the ball well for over 100. James Conner looked like James Conner of a couple years ago, looked good. And we didn't run the ball successfully, and they packed the box. They did exactly what, you know, I think it was Josh brought it up a couple times of one team's going to say, we're not going to let you run for 250 yards on us today. Yeah. We're going to stop the run.
Well, yeah, and a lot of I don't know how much, a lot of a little bit. I got to put some of this on Stefanski because, okay, there were times at the beginning of the game, first quarter, when I'm sitting there watching the game, I'm going, put Keenum in, and it's not because about how bad Baker was playing. It's because I kept seeing Baker shaking his arm.
Yeah,
it was hanging. He was getting up slow. He had that look on his face like, this dude is hurt. Get him out of the game. He's not going to win the game for you because he can't play. Makes him more scared to get hit because he knows the next hit might be the last one. You know, he's making these decisions, and I'm watching him like, as a head coach, you got to know. You knew going into this game, Baker's hurt.
And he's not the type of guy that's going to say, coach, got to pull me.
Absolutely not. He'll play if he's got one leg. I mean, that's the kind of guy, you're right, that he is. So I think Stefanski at some point needed to go over there and say, you're hurt. I'm sorry, kid, you're hurt.
Right.
Just sit this one out. I'm my call.
Yeah, no, and I agree. You know? And he took a bunch of hits.
Oh, every time he got hit, I cringed. I'm like, oh, my gosh, is he getting up?
Yeah, there was a few hits where I didn't early on that I was like, oh, they were good. Keenum, start getting loose.
Yeah.
Take some snaps over on the sideline because, I mean, their defense, it was like they knew the play call or they knew the snap count. They knew everything. Even on a couple of the plays where we got offsides, I mean, it was close that it wasn't offsides. TJ Watt, and he does this every week. It's not like TJ Watt broke out and was
for
a star.
Cleveland, yeah.
You know, again, in this game. It's something that he's really good at, and he's also one of the most penalized when it comes to jumping offsides. But we didn't make any adjustments, and we kind of talked about it when we weren't, you know, live.
People couldn't hear us.
that goes on Baker. I think it also goes on Stefanski as well. And I think that has to, as a coach, you have to see those adjustments. You see Baker's hurt, you got to make a change. You see that, hey, they're really killing us up front, we got to make a change. And it felt like it was the same game plan the entire game.
Yeah, no halftime adjustment, no any adjustment.
Well, and we weren't really out of the game in the first half. Okay, so defense held strong.
Our defense played well.
It looked like Pittsburgh, I'm watching that first drive, they're going right down the field and getting a touchdown. I'm like, I literally thought this could get bad early. Held them to a field goal. I'm like, all right. Offense comes out, pick six on the third play. Not great. Down 10-0. Get the ball back. I think we went three and out or something again. We didn't move the ball in the next drive. Defense held. We finally get moving the ball down 10-0, and we're going to go for it. I think it was like fourth and four on like their 38, too long to kick a field goal when Cody Parkey's your kicker, that you can't trust him from distance at Heinz Field, and we get a false start. And I was just like, man, right when we started like doing something right and like, hey, we get a field goal here, we're only down a touchdown, now we're stuck to punt. They go, we punt it, they go down, touchdown, we're down 17-0. Totally different feel of the game. And I felt like then you felt like you couldn't run the ball at all after that. No.
So I will say, I don't think the Browns have been very good coming out of the half this year in any of our games.
Nope.
Part of that to me, and you're gonna freak out, is what kind of adjustments can Stefanski really make at halftime? Because there's only one way we can play on offense. So what's he supposed to adjust? Because if the other team's going to adjust to what we're doing in the first half, we can't adjust off that, because we literally, that's the only way we can play to be successful. So what are we supposed to adjust to?
So to argue that too, how many of our wins are situational football where we're just playing to get out of there? Dallas, we're up big, trying to run the clock out. Same thing with Washington. We're just trying to, I mean, obviously things got really ugly towards the end, but Indy, even an Indy team, we're up. Our offense becomes completely stagnant.
I mean, he threw two picks in the second half against Indy.
Well, one that he got hurt on.
Yeah. Still one. That was awful. That's another thing about Baker. Last year, he had some tip passes. You know, of his 21 picks, you know, probably like three or four of them are off the hands of people. His picks are just bad, though. They're just the bad, bad decisions.
Yeah, his two picks this week were atrocious. I'm not going to stand up for Baker and say, oh, I don't know. You know, he made a mistake. That guy came out of nowhere.
No.
Minka was standing just right there.
And the second one,
throwing off one Baker, if you're listening, you're not strong enough to throw off your back foot like a Patrick Mahomes type. And he does, and most of his picks, if you look at his, it's like a footwork thing of he's like scrambling out, throwing off his back foot. And it almost felt like, to me, that throw where he just threw it up and it was picked off at like midfield. They picked this off at midfield. Almost like desperation time. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to throw this up and hope we catch it type of a feeling. And the score, I think, was that in the first half?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And it had that feel of, oh, we're just throwing it up and saying a prayer that we catch this ball in the first half of a game. And
right.
Offensively, I think that Baker, one, felt a lot of pressure from what he was dealing with on the field, and two, I think himself felt, hey, I really got to try to win this game, and I can't win this game with what I'm dealing with on the field. I can't with what's happening every time that I snap the ball.
Well, you saw the frustration, too. Like, for a guy that I'll be the first to say, OBJ, I beat up on the guy a lot.
Yeah.
He calls everybody over, rah-rah, let's go out there, let's drive down the field, let's come back, and that was when things were still reasonable. And we just never...
Well, and we didn't do a whole lot of things, I felt like, to get an OBJ involved, like, in your game plan. Yeah. Like, I saw with a lot of teams that you see, a lot of really good teams in the NFL, they can't get the ball to their wide receiver. They manufacture a way to try to get the ball to their best player. We've said that. Yeah. Like you said on numerous occasions, that Odell is, you know, awesome with the ball in his hands. You just got to get him the ball in his hands. Well, sometimes you have to manufacture those touches. It's not always going to be... Well, Odell, you know Odell's going to get open on this post route or the seven route, and you're going to be able to give him the ball. You have to run a slow crosser route just to get him involved to make the defense not be one-dimensional, which I felt the Steelers were the entire game.
I think he had two catches for 25 yards, and one of the...
Killed my fantasy.
His second catch was with like 10 seconds left in the third quarter. It was a Case Keenum like 12-yard throw.
Yeah, a little dump off.
Yeah.
I think, Zach, were you saying earlier about, you know, this was Stefanski's first... game. Was that you that said that?
Yeah.
You know, as because he's a rookie head coach. I mean, he's going into Pittsburgh. And honestly, I mean, no one's beaten them yet.
No.
So it's not like you can go study someone else's tape and say, well, how'd they do it?
Right.
You know, no one's really exploited their weaknesses yet. So we'll see what the first team that beats Pittsburgh, how they do it.
Yeah.
Someone's going to beat them. I mean, it's very hard to go undefeated.
We got a really good matchup in a couple weeks here. That the Steelers kind of got screwed on. They got to play Baltimore here in a couple weeks. That'll be an interesting game because both teams that came out made us look like we don't belong in the field with them. And you got a bunch of haters out there, and you got Ravens fans, Steelers fans saying, you know, that we that's the case. We don't, they're up here and we're way down here, even though our record, you know, shows that we're only a game or two out of first place.
Right. Well, and for all the panicking Browns fans, remember the Chiefs made the Ravens look like they didn't belong.
Yes.
On the field. And last year, we played the Ravens in a game where we made them look like they didn't belong with us.
Yeah.
So this is the NFL.
Yeah. And I'm not saying, I'm going to say this comment. I'm not going to, don't, you know, bash on me.
I won't.
There's been a couple games in teams' careers, like a Tom Brady, where he came out and his team, they wrote him off. I think it was the Chiefs a couple years ago. They trounced him like 40. I think it might have been Kareem Hunt's rookie year. They came out and they killed him in the first game of the year, or second game, early in the year, and it was like 42-10 or something. Everybody's like, oh, this is a year Patriots finally down. And they seem to be okay. So, fingers crossed.
My thing, back to the Baker, I just don't see the progress. I've seen complete regression.
Now, that I can get in line with you on that. That's what's disappointing.
And I'm not, like, I'm a big Dan Orlovsky fan. Mm-hmm. And he put a bunch of stuff out. He's like, if Baker's first read isn't open,
you're panic.
It's done. He's done. I mean, I know this is a new system, but this guy should be able to read defenses. I mean, cover two is cover two. It doesn't matter what your offense is. Man coverage is man coverage. It doesn't matter what your offensive system is. The fact, and I think he's just as bad pre-snap. He doesn't see blitzes coming. He doesn't change his snap count. Like we talked before the show, I don't know if I've ever seen Baker audible. I've never seen him audible.
I can't say that. We'll be watching this week, and every time the audibles, we'll be like, hey, just call audible.
Take a shot every time the audibles. Sweep right.
Well, I'll be on my way to Cancun, so let me have it.
Congratulations. For our fans out there that don't know, Blake ties the knot. He's going to be off the market. Yeah. Technically, he's already off the market. For real. Yeah.
Now, I mean, she still does have a few days to get her act together and figure things out.
Right. I mean,
no, I hit
come talk to us, Keith.
If she hasn't, if she hasn't by now, you are as good as married.
Yeah. But no, like I'll be watching on TV and I'm like, oh, this safety's blitzing, and then he just runs into it. Like, man, if I can see that from TV, this guy should be able to see that pre-snap.
We say that all. I feel like we say that a lot, though, about different scenarios in the game. And it's not just with the Browns that we're able to see those things. And it's like,
it's obviously different when you're on the field. I'm seeing it from above.
Right. But I'm just, I agree. I agree that Baker's got to pick up on those things.
And I love everything about – I love that he's, like, bought into being a Cleveland Brown. He seems like he genuinely likes Cleveland. I don't know if it's because he likes Cleveland or because he knows if it doesn't work here, he's probably not getting a job somewhere else.
Oh, man.
But, you know, I think he's funny. I like his attitude. I like all that
you
stuff.
You like his commercials?
Yes. Some of them are pretty early.
I do think they're very funny.
The Hulu Sports one is...
No. The progressive ones are good.
The book club one is solid. You know, there's good ones out there.
But I just don't like the way he plays. And I'm not seeing any progress. And that's my thing. I'm not saying to bail on him. Like I said, we didn't have audio. This is a prove it year. Not a prove it six games. And I'm not saying bail on him. I still think... But even if we win 10 games and make the playoffs this year, if you do that, it's going to be in spite of Baker, not because of Baker. And I know I'm going to throw – the Broncos literally won a playoff game with a quarterback and then got rid of him. Sometimes you got to be able to make tough decisions like that to take your team to the next level. The Broncos with Tebow probably could have just kept making the playoffs and then losing. But they had to make a tough decision. Obviously, it's easier when you're like, I can bring in Peyton Manning. But
And even like the Seahawks, which is I always think is an interesting situation where they paid, what was it, Matt Flynn?
Yeah.
All that money to come in and be the quarterback, and then they just drafted some scrub named Russell Wilson in the third round or fourth round or whatever. Yeah, too short, can't play.
Small hands.
Yeah. And then,
and see what's history. Going on there. Even to a lesser extent, the Bears with Trubisky, we gave them tons of crap for, like, sticking with him for so long, even though it was obvious he wasn't the guy. And, you know, I don't even think Nick Foles is that good. And they make the switch. They're 5-1.
Right. Well, just stick up for Trubisky a little bit.
He's
won a couple of those games, and he was only a Pro Bowler and has a winning record as a quarterback.
The way they pulled him, I was like, they just couldn't wait anymore.
That's the thing. And Trubisky had shown them a Pro Bowl season.
Right.
And winning lots of games, and they still had to go and pull
Now, that I can agree with you on. He showed no progression. He wasn't getting better. And, I mean, it was just the bad decisions, the constant interceptions, or almost interceptions.
So,
I mean,
everything we say about our quarterback.
That's what I'm hearing.
We're looking at it through, you know, Browns fan glossy glasses with Baker. But if you just put his numbers up without his pitcher, you would think that was a career backup quarterback.
I'm not saying that Baker's the guy. I'm not saying he's our quarterback for the next decade. I don't want to, you know, confuse that. I'm not saying that. I agree that he still has to prove that he is that. I'm not for benching him now, you know, for what we have.
I completely agree. I do not think you bench him for Keenum because we know what Keenum is.
I think that Baker can still be I don't think, I'm not ruling out that Baker can't be a franchise quarterback. He looked awesome last week in the first half against Indy. Okay. And yeah, we changed our game plan in the second half, didn't run as many pass plays. He didn't look great in the second half. I agree. Threw the two picks, second one he got killed on. That I think he's way more banged up than what he leads.
That's what I was going to.
Because since that hit, mm-hmm. if you've looked at his numbers just since that play where he threw that second, it's bad. You got to be able to throw the ball to be able to be successful. And I don't think that he can throw it at 100%.
So what's his injury? Right? Is it ribs?
Right, ribs.
Okay, so I was listening to a podcast. They've got like a doctor who does like pro football like evaluation. Like he watches and sees kind of what the injuries are for guys. And they were talking about Baker Mayfield. And he said, yeah, they have him listed as ribs. He said, I don't think it's ribs. He said, I think, what is it, AC joint, I think,
yeah,
in the shoulder?
He said,
did you see how his arm was hanging? He said, that's not ribs.
Yeah, but so I've separated my AC joint in my shoulder. If it, he had a separated AC joint, he wouldn't
I'm not saying separated, but I'm saying something.
It's something. His arm's not, like, as bad as his ribs are, his arm's not 100% either. Yeah. Because, yeah, in that game, I mean, it looked like his arm was dead the Colts game. He could barely walk off the field and lift. They said that he couldn't lift his arm up.
I mean, it looked like a broken collarbone to me, the way he was holding the arm down like that.
Right.
Like,
and then you mentioned in the Steelers game, I mean, he took some shots.
Yep.
I mean, he got hit, I think it was 8 times is what they said he was hit. I think they had 4 sacks, if
they
I'm correct.
Sacks.
Yep, 4 sacks.
But he was hit a lot, and you could see him shaking that arm off of just, like, trying to get the blood flowing to it again type of a thing. And against that might work this week. Against the Cincinnati Bengals team, that might work, not being at 100%. But against a Steelers team, you got to be 100. You got to be ready to go. You got to play a perfect game to beat a really good team.
That's why I was like, I just wish they would have. Stefanski just would have benched him and said, "We're going to play with Keenum because you're hurt, not because you're bad, because you're hurt."
So
and
let
we
me,
can't because now he's gonna, if you increase that injury, you just prolong it throughout the season, and then we have more games like this.
Let me pose this to you, though. Is this in Baker's head and a little bit in Stefanski's head where Baker's like, if I get benched because I'm hurt, I might not get back?
Not if it's done correctly, I think.
Because if he gets benched and he's hurt, and I'm not saying Case Keenum's good, hypothetically speaking.
They start winning games.
They start winning.
The offense
looks good, and he's not turning the ball. Next thing you know, there's a QB controversy
Cleveland. The trust between head coach and quarterback comes into play. And if Stefanski, if they have that relationship where he can take him aside and in his office and say, listen, this is what we're doing, and whenever you're back to health, you're the guy. You're the guy.
Yeah, but you can say that.
I know.
But if you're winning games, you're not going to pull.
But Baker was winning games, though.
Yeah.
Right.
We're 4-1. Going into this.
I agree. But if Baker comes out due to injury and Keenum and there's a spark, we've been saying, you know, teams got to stop. We haven't been hitting those over the top passes. You know, teams stack the box to stop the run and then our offense just becomes stagnant. It's not like teams are stacking the box to stop the run and then we start hitting bombs over the top. Baker's averaging like 160 yards passing.
That's not Keenum's game either, though.
No, but what I'm saying is, it's in Stefanski's mind. It's in Baker's mind. Baker's not going to have that trust with Stefanski. Stefanski didn't draft Baker. Andrew Berry didn't draft Baker. There's no connection there.
I think there's something really important that happened too after the game. If you watch the press conference, Stefanski came out and said, listen, if Baker is 100% healthy, he will be going Sunday. He is our quarterback.
Well, Anthony Lynn said the same thing about Tyrod Taylor.
That's true.
Dude, that's so true.
That is true, but I don't think
but
that's
Justin
the same.
Herbert's a little more talented than Case Keenum.
I guess that's a different story because Herbert was the future no matter what.
No matter what.
Right.
So
Tyrod wasn't brought there.
Keenum's not the future, so it's not the same.
Tyrod was signed there to be the backup to Phillip Rivers.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they drafted a rookie that they saw, hey, how many times does a rookie quarterback that starts out pan out in the NFL? More times they fail. Yeah. And then they had the whole doctor puncturing the lung thing. So Anthony Lynn's got to say, when Tyrod's back, he'll be so I get what Blake's saying about the whole, man, I really don't want to give up my spot because it might not be there. I like that Stefanski came out and said, if Baker's healthy, he's our starting quarterback this year. And just kind of ended the conversation because how many times do you see where you're like, well, we're going to see how this week goes, and we're going to make our decision, you know, before Sunday.
See, I don't want wishy-washy.
I agree.
And like I said, you can't make a decision on Baker going into next year if you pull him after six games. So
it's, right, because then hard, you don't know.
Exactly. As hard as I am on Baker today, it's still his team this season. No matter what happens, unless his arm falls off, he better start all 16, hopefully 17 games. Because at the end of this year, I want to know if he's the guy or we're moving on, because I'm tired of the guessing game.
And another thing, too, is how many times is the coach in hot water already and the quarterback struggling and the next guy? How many times as panicky, awful Browns fans do we force that hand?
No, a lot.
And the media does, too.
And yes.
Cleveland media. They, you know, there's always got to be somebody to blame. I think Stefanski did a pretty good job of taking some of the blame on himself. He was, you know, reported out there saying, and I agree with him, that he said, there's plays I ran on Sunday that I would never run again. I learned my lesson the hard way. Because I think that there were a lot of plays that we ran where it just felt like there was no burst. There was nothing on it. We're going to probably run the ball on first down. We're going to do a play action pass on the next down. It was the same play calling.
Stagnant.
There was nothing to do out of the norm, like getting Odell involved, getting a Jarvis involved early.
Dude, I'm drawing comparisons in my head to Freddie last year, and I feel like if they're he ran like five plays, he's like, no. I'm thinking what you said, Stefanski said, and then Freddie would be like, oh yeah, I shouldn't have run that play, and then the next week he'd run it and be like, oh darn it, I didn't mean that. I said I wasn't going to do that.
Yeah,
I
told somebody take that out of the playbook.
Yeah. I agree.
I love our head coach. I really think we got a good one. This is my daily reminder to you all that thank God we don't have Mike McCarthy.
Oh, my God. Dumpster fire in Dallas.
You know, we'll get into that in a second, but they just got blown out by a Cardinals team that I think is kind of like in the same level as the Browns, where they're better than bad, but they're not great.
What sucks though, McCarthy can ride that injury excuse whole season.
Yes.
But then McCarthy came out after the game and said, I thought this was the best week of preparation we had.
Freddie Kitchens all over.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, McCarthy, one, if Jerry Jones isn't going to the bank and, you know, writing a check for Dak Prescott after watching, Andy Dalton's not your answer. I'd pay the guy.
They might not. That's the crazy thing is they might not. They're that kind of organization. They probably...
Yeah, and everybody, Dallas fans, you see them everywhere. Cowboys fans are... I mean, you guys haven't won a division just as long as the Browns haven't won the division.
No.
They haven't won since the early 90s.
Yeah. They're nothing.
And they're super loaded every year, and you can't say that about Cleveland. McCarthy, he just... Man, it's hard to watch, and they're super loaded on offense, and doesn't help... Doesn't help that Zeke had popcorn or something on the sideline. The guy can't hold on to the ball. And the reporter was like, Zeke Elliott, you know, met with him about his fumbling.
That was awesome.
And she's like, he said, you know, it's gotten in his head. And these guys are really good in the NFL. They're just going after the ball. And, you know, it comes in spurts. But I don't feel like I'm going to fumble the rest of the year. And it came out and fumbled three times, I think, right? One game.
There's two, back to back. I was playing somebody in fantasy, took the lead, texted him and said, hey, see in the playoffs, and then literally they fumbled the ball, and I went down, and I was like, oh, man. And then he fumbled it again. I had two guys going, and I won by, 16, 17 points.
I lost.
The
fumbles.
Last year,
And he does it. I mean, it's not like this was the only game. He fumbled against the Browns. I think he's fumbled almost every week this year.
Quick tangent. Last year I lost a fantasy game by 0.09 points. Because Shady McCoy fumbled, I took the lead. He fumbled. I went down by 0.09, and then he got benched and didn't go back in.
Yep.
So I know all too well your guys' pain with that.
Do we want to? Because we spent the first 30 minutes on bullet one on Baker Mayfield.
We'll gloss over this real quick. So I will say, as far as the line was concerned, they didn't play well. Obviously, at all they were bad. And I don't even want to blame Chris Hubbard because I didn't notice him getting
mauled, the edge.
But I just feel like we missed Wyatt Teller. He gives us an attitude. He gives us an edge. He's kind of like the glue that holds it together, which is something that I feel crazy saying considering we didn't know if he was even going to be the starting guard.
He was going to be the weakest link on our line.
I feel like he really missed him. Our edge got killed. And as you guys know, I put a lot of that on our quarterback, but it's really hard to block defensive end rushers, in the NFL to begin with. And then when you give elite guys like TJ Watt and Bud, it's like they knew the snap count better than we did.
Yeah.
So we didn't do anything to help our tackles there. But man, we missed, I hope Wyatt Teller's back because we just missed his attitude. We missed everything that he brings. And like, I didn't want to bash Chris Hubbard. I didn't notice him sucking. It just, as a unit, I feel like Wyatt Teller is kind of like the glue that keeps that thing going. Well, so we need him back.
They're used to, you know, working with each other too. Yeah. Hubbard, you know, and credit Chris Hubbard. He came in and our line played every single play together. We didn't have to bring anybody in, but he doesn't have that, you know, the gel that the other five have of working together and being able to. Conklin says one word and Teller knows what to do, and Hubbard's like, "What does that mean?" and those miscommunications on the line, I think, hurt. But one of the biggest guys that for me that I felt that I really noticed that I missed him was Nick Chubb in this game.
Yep, absolutely.
And Kareem Hunt is fantastic, and I'm not saying that. I don't want Kareem Hunt because I do.
But there's a reason why Nick Chubb was the lead back.
Nick Chubb's just different.
Yeah. Well, I found myself so many times, and you know, it was hard running the ball because they were hitting you, you know, a yard into the backfield. So credit Hunt for what he was kind of able to do. But there was a lot of times where I just felt like Nick Chubb breaks that tackle. Nick Chubb, you know, if we run that play for Chubb, we're getting a 5 yard gain, not a 1 yard gain. Those type of plays just really stuck out in this game. I didn't notice them as much because I thought Hunt did all right in the Colts game. Not great, but he did all right. D'Ernest Johnson hasn't been whatnoting enough to be successful.
Here's the thing. He had a great game against the Cowboys.
Really bad team.
Everybody has.
Kenyon Drake looked like a Pro Bowler this week.
Yeah, if you got a running back and they're playing the Cowboys, you get that guy in the starting lineup because.
So high on your Kenyon Drakes.
Kenyon Drake has been awful for me this year, put up a 30 spot and a big loss for me this week.
And that'll be the only 30 spot he'll put up all year.
Yep. He won't score 30 the next 3 weeks.
So, yeah, I miss Nick Chubb. So hurry back.
I don't know if we talked about it right before we got on, too, is how nice it was to have him just come in and beat up a team. Two, 3 quarters, and then, hey, Hunt, not only are you going to just catch a couple balls here and there, catch a screen pass, but, hey, now you get in there and pound away a little bit.
Well, here's one of the biggest numbers that, you know, I look at the snap count, I look at all this stuff, of Kareem Hunt played 30 out of 57 snaps. Well, okay, so that left 27 snaps unanswered for at the running back position. Nick Chubb plays those 30, and you got Kareem Hunt for a chunk of those other 27.
Yep.
But right now you're playing a Hilliard or you're playing a Johnson.
It's a big difference.
You didn't play your fullback because he played 7 snaps. The guy we brought in to help the run game, you know, an extra blocker to have in situations on play action, you played him 7 snaps.
You also got to look at the snap counts for the running game a little differently in this one because we were
forced
out of the running game early.
Quickly. Right, I agree. A couple other things that I saw that I David Njoku in the news again saying that he wants Mary Kay Cabot.
Yeah, get him out.
Trade
him.
I want traded. He said I never said that. Cam Hayward actually, she came out and said a quote that Cam Hayward said that, you know, he wanted to inflict pain and hurt Baker because they knew he was hurt. And Cam Hayward came out and said, "Hey, this lady's nuts or whatnot." I really didn't say that.
Here's the thing, Mary Kay Cabot she's awful.
Yeah, she's a pot stirrer.
She's the girl version of Zach Cobb.
Sometimes you gotta be. That's my stepbrothers.
Cleveland media, man. I think Mary Kay Cabot, I heard her asking questions post game. I was like, man, this lady is an idiot. You know, Tony Grossi.
Oh boy.
It's all Mary Kay Cabot's awful.
We gotta get some press passes.
Yeah, how do we get her job? Because
you have to go to probably journalism school. I
can't make torque converters by night.
Talking about our tight ends, and I kind of mentioned this when Njoku was coming back, that I didn't want to see him take a bunch of time away from Harrison Bryant, and he played 2 more snaps than he did this week. Mm-hmm. And Harrison Bryant's here, you know. One, he's reliable catcher. We said that this guy's super talented from day one. We liked his pass catching ability, and he will sell out and run block for you. And I felt like we missed that a little bit this week where you could tell like some of those guys stood out. Hooper didn't do a bad job, you know, catching the ball. But, man, isn't Hooper a tight end? Did he not get hit like he was a little kid getting hit out there by some
destroyed?
I thought every time.
I forgot about that.
Every time, like Bud Dupree would come from behind him and just
lay the wood.
Yeah,
I mean,
I was like, man, I thought this was a big guy. Not at all. He didn't look like it.
No, I thought that. I thought they looked way more physical than us.
We looked soft
everywhere. Yeah, they were just coming out in. It looked like we were like, okay, this game's done. Get us out of here. And they smelled blood in the water.
And they were like, oh my gosh, this is fun. We get to hurt people.
Yeah, we're just going to lay the wood on these
guys. I forgot
guys.
About and Hooper getting every creamed.
It was just like every time I'm like, oh, Hooper caught the ball. And it was like he took one step and was just blasted by a bus.
Yeah, running through the middle of the field just on a 3-yard screen pass.
And as much as we're kind of going at Baker, and all of us, I think, feel like Baker didn't play well. That guy took a lot of hits, and he got up every time without being 100%. A lot of quarterbacks don't take the beating that he took on Sunday and gets back up and says,
no.
I want to go out there for that next drive. No, because he could have backed out and been like, hey, coach.
I'm hurt.
Yeah, it's a little tender. I just got hit.
Put his finger up his shirt and look, it's my rib.
So I credit that, but man, they hit hard.
I've got so much respect for Baker. I love him. Love the guy. Love the player. I mean, he's a tough guy. But, like, I'll go with you on this, Blake. I got to see him getting better. He's got to be progressing. Now, I get it. Bad games happen. We talked about it. Aaron Rodgers had a terrible game. He looked pedestrian. It happens.
Even his good games, though, I feel like we go into every game, we're like, man, I hope Baker doesn't throw a pick today. I shouldn't have to. I hope Baker makes those throws today. Even his good games this year are pedestrian.
Our comments should not be, he's – what am I going to say?
Thank God he didn't throw a pick.
Yeah, so like for Aaron Rodgers, saying, oh, wow, he's off this game. For Baker, we're saying, oh, wow, he's on this game.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's not how it should be.
So I think that this article that I really liked about the recap of this game had kind of hit how I feel about this game. So it says the concern, justified. The angst, understandable. The panic, premature.
Absolutely.
Because I still think that, you know, there's a lot of season left. I think Baker could show us we might have a totally different tune, you know, in the upcoming games. Because I still think that he can be successful, but he's got to be healthy.
The schedule will help him be.
Yes.
If you look at the schedule, we're going to see some
And I'm not saying if Baker is successful that he's still the quarterback moving forward. If we can sign Dak Prescott. sorry, Baker. Go sell and car insurance with Flo Johnny or something.
With Johnny, you guys can work together.
Oh, geez.
So, but I definitely thought that this game going into it, it was a great test for our offensive line, and the Steelers' defensive line won 10 out of 10 times. Some positives, though, to take away. Mack Wilson played a little bit more, played 31 snaps. Ogunjobi was back. He was on the field, played decent. I mean, normally he's our run stopper, so we did give up a lot of yards, but he played 85% of the snaps after being out a week, so that was at least a plus.
No, I'm going to say we didn't force any turnovers this week, but I thought coming into this game is going to have to be a shootout if we wanted to win, because I didn't know if we were going to be able to stop them the way we give, especially with Ronnie Harrison and Carl Joseph out, the way we give up big pass plays down the middle of the field. And I know we gave up 38 points, but so much of that was giving them short fields when we start going for it on fourth down. So I thought the defense played super solid. We didn't
a couple pass plays here or there, but
against a team like with a Hall of Fame quarterback and all those weapons, you have to expect they're going to get theirs occasionally. And I thought I thought the defense played pretty solid. I think you can build off that defensive performance.
I agree to an extent. The only thing and Myles Garrett had a sack. But I kind of thought he would have had a bigger game. But they credit the Steelers for
taking him
away.
Him.
Right.
Even on his sack, he got triple teamed and still got – I mean, at some point
– You love Myles Garrett now. You were wanting to get rid of him.
No. Trade him
for Russell Wilson.
Well
– Trust me.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't look that crazy for
They're
that
not
right
doing
now.
That trade, bro. I promise you. They're good.
So do you think the Browns would do it, or do you think the Seahawks wouldn't do it?
Oh, the Seahawks are definitely not
Tells
doing
me
it.
That my trade idea wasn't that crazy. But no, somebody on the defense, the guy gets triple teamed.
Right, no, I'm not taking that away from Miles. He still got a sack in the game. It was kind of like almost a pity sack. Ben trying to, he like just wrapped his arms around and Ben just kind of fell.
Yeah, it did look pretty like,
hey, like, don't hit me with your helmet. I'll go down. Yeah.
I saw what you did to Mason.
Yeah. Which it was nice. We had, you know, Miles Garrett and Tomlin were probably told before the game, hey, go shake hands at the 50 yard line to make this like all smooth over. Cause they made sure to show that on camera. But defensively, I thought, you know, we didn't play terrible. There were some blown coverages. Play that sticks out in my head is it was kind of early on in the game. James Conner running through the hole. Sendejo meets him in the hole, dives, and just totally just whiffs in the backfield. And James Conner runs for like a 15-yard gain. So Sendejo showed up the same way he showed up every other game. So I'm hoping that we get some of our safeties back because going to preview this game here in a few minutes. Bengals, they throw the ball a lot. They threw it 61 times against us the first time around. Joe Burrow, him and T. Higgins are kind of gelling, the two rookies together. A.J. Green looked had like he was back.
Yeah, he had an all right game.
So tough game coming up here in week six.
Week seven. We're all over the place.
We're 7 weeks in. COVID's slowing down, so that's helping. Well, not if you listen to something.
What are you talking about?
But
this,
in the NFL,
where we live is going to be red county here real quick.
I live in a red county, so what's up, guys? So is Blake.
Yeah, schools are all changing their tune now to the whole coronavirus thing, too. But
they're all going to be shut down in a couple weeks. Anyway, so Bengals. Yes.
All right, so let's move into this Bengals. The first thing, I want to see the defense played better than they did the first game. Yep. I want to see, you know, we saw the Ravens make Joe Burrow look awful. I want to see us do that to him.
It's time to do that to somebody.
Do it, please do it. I'm tired of watching rookies tear us up. Some, you know, I feel like that always happened to the Browns. Well, the rookie has their best game of the season against us. Miles Garrett, somebody other than Miles, get some pressure so they can't triple team Miles Garrett, please.
Yes.
Let's get a couple sacks. Let's force a couple more turnovers.
I say Joe's saying, what about the rest of our defensive front here?
Oh, I saw your
answer there.
Yeah. So Olivier Vernon's washed up.
So who else are we putting in there? Who's on that defensive front that we can count on?
Porter Gustin,
yeah. We raved about him. Like, man, this guy looked really good. Been? And haven't Sheldon Richardson.
First couple weeks, these guys were playing
Adrian
really
Claiborne.
Well.
I feel like I haven't seen him on the field a whole lot.
No, he led the team in sacks the first 2 weeks, and I haven't.
We had three sacks against them the first time. They played from behind. They ran 30 more plays than we did.
Yep. I remember second half, we hardly had the ball.
Yeah, in that game, Burrow, you know, he threw 61 passes, completed 37. Biggest tell in this game, I think, is how do we adjust our. Now we got film. Okay, so we're going to game plan from what happened the first time. They had four guys averaging 10 yards a catch in that first game. You're not going to do that against many teams and win.
You know what? That's a good point that we have film, because so do they. Yes. So this will be a good test between Taylor and Stefanski because, I mean, it was not a blowout that first game. I mean, yeah, we kind of had the upper hand, and for the most part.
It never came down to the end
where because something goes wrong. Yeah.
215 yards rushing that game for the Browns. I mean, we put up big numbers on the ground. Yep. Baker threw for 219, 16 of 23. You know, good game for Baker. What do you expect from him, Blake? I mean, what do you think? Are you wanting three?
Whenever we're running the ball like that, I mean, even Mahomes is having these 200-yard games right now because he doesn't have to go for 400. Now, Dak was thrown for 400 because he had to.
Right.
You know?
We had three sacks against him the first time. I think we could get the five with our front. I think that we can as long as the other guys show up. We did it early in the game against the Steelers. Redwine got to the quarterback, and then somebody else cleaned him up. I'm not sure who it was because Redwine couldn't tackle Big Ben. So thankfully, somebody else was there.
I thought Redwine played a good game, though, by the way.
He missed some he was involved in some of the missed coverages on plays, but so was all of our secondary. I mean, Chase Claypool was hard to guard.
Okay, and what about that James Washington touchdown?
Terrence Mitchell.
Wide open.
Completely.
I mean, just a little double move, and it was like,
yep.
Yeah, Big Ben did his little Brett Favre little pump fake impression and just threw it through. I mean, that was an easy touchdown. You don't get many more easier touchdowns than that one. So corners got to play a little better. Denzel Ward, I really love you, but when we're getting killed and you do do a pass deflection and knock it down. Don't celebrate like we just won the Super Bowl. Because he does it every time where he's sticking his hands up in the air. And then you got burned on that James Washington touchdown. So,
yeah, I think if the secondary can cover, we can get a ton of sacks because their offensive line's terrible.
Yeah, well, and I want to see some different blitzes. Like, I feel like we rely on how many linebackers do we have that have a sack this year?
Yeah, but so here's the thing, especially if you struggle in pass coverage, you can't blitz.
Right.
Because that takes people out of pass coverage. And
I get
the good defenses can get pressure with four. That way you can drop seven into pass coverage. We can't let Burrow get rid of the ball in under 2 seconds every time. We got to cover somebody for at least 3 seconds, give these guys time up front to get some pressure because their offensive line's trash.
Hopefully we're a lot healthier too.
And we
were super beat up going in, like, it, as far as secondary.
And it was a short week when we played them that first time. We had turned around, played them on Thursday night. So I really think that the Browns are going to come out and look. I'm excited. I think that they're going to play well, but I'm excited because this is like, I know we lost week one, but it was like kind of, week one, we didn't have the system, you know, Raven. First time playing we played, together.
An okay team in the Ravens.
Okay, you know. So we had that type of feel. And then week two, we're like, man, okay, this is finally Stefanski's turn. Now we're a couple games in. We'll see how he bounces back against a team that you've already played before. How well can you game plan against their defense? Because you're going to know what they're going to try to do.
If you try to stop the run, there needs to be an adjustment.
I said, is it a stretch to call this a must win?
No. I don't think that it's a stretch because it's a game. Now, I think that this is a game that we should win.
Absolutely.
And we're winning the games
that
we should win.
The thing. This year. If you lose this game off the back of that shellacking in Pittsburgh,
there's going to be so much
confidence in those players all of a sudden drops. And I mean significantly because this is the perfect bounce back. It's like the NFL said, all right, yeah, you have to play the Steelers. We'll let you play the Bengals after that.
Right, I agree with that, this is a bounce, kind of a bounce back feel game, but a lot of people, the Bengals aren't as bad as what their record says that they actually are. Their defense is really bad. Their defense is really, really
bad.
Their
O-line is very, very suspect.
But their weapons and offense and what they do, they were up 21-0, right? Is that what you're
against the Colts? That's what scares me is if they got
the ability to score quick.
If they jump out on us, then all of a sudden, our running game, our identity gets taken away, and then it's like,
and can Baker
come back?
Because here's the thing. Colts were down 21-0 in the very pedestrian who we just ripped, Phillip Rivers.
Colts fans are
led them back. If Phillip Rivers can do it to the Bengals, we better be able to do it to the Bengals.
Hey, if you want to crown him, man.
That's all I'm saying.
Philip Rivers is still who we think he is.
If they somehow come out and take away our run game, Baker better throw for 300 yards against these guys.
You're hearing good things, though, coming out of Cleveland going into today. You're hearing, Baker, I'm really pissed off about what happened on Sunday. I'm not happy about it. None of the guys in the locker room are happy about it. We're going into this week. We're fired up. Those are the games where you see Baker come out and he's got a chip.
Yeah, when he plays with a chip.
I love that thing that you said. But
what I send you guys though, that picture,
you grab it. I see them, and Baker's gonna be a lot more healthy.
This says the Baker Mayfield cycle.
Oh,
I'll PG
censor this a little bit.
Play like crap. It says we are here. And then it goes to criticized by the media, underdog mentality, beat inferior opponent, call out doubters. Back to play like crap.
Yeah.
And on and on we go.
I said, I feel like, I mean, it's kind of the way it is.
I'm okay. So if that means going into this week,
in my opinion, we're playing an inferior opponent.
Absolutely.
And for one time in my life, the Browns have a lot of inferior opponents on their schedule.
Yeah.
NFL did us a favor this year. And I think that the Browns are good enough to take advantage of that. And we just can't have a collapse.
No, and this is the perfect game to. I mean, this is kind of like the pivot game, right? It's all kind of hinging. If we come out and establish that no, we're still a good team, rest of the season looks good. Mm-hmm. If we come out and get beat by the Bengals and say it's like a 2-score game that we get beat,
then
you're supposed to win at home. Those teams, okay teams, good teams win at home. I think Cincinnati literally they're transitioning into being a very, very decent team for a lot of years.
Oh, yeah. They got the pieces in place to be. I mean, they got a good running back.
Yeah.
They got to get a better offensive line. They're kind of where, you know, in places the Brown defense really bad, had to fix the offensive line. Well, we've kind of fixed the offensive line, but our defense still isn't very – they're getting there, but they're not great.
I agree.
I look at this game. I hope that it's not high scoring. I don't want it to be high scoring. I don't want it to kind of be one-sided because I think that
– I see the – to me, the Browns should score for 30 again this week.
Yeah, back to where we were.
Yep.
I can't disagree that their defense is really bad. I just hope that we – you know, it'd be nice to have a couple touchdown win here or there and not like – hey, we got up really big, and here we go again. And
it's sweat time.
Yeah, let's stomp. Well, let's beat these guys by 17.
Don't take your foot off the gas on offense. Yeah, they should have scored
70 against Dallas. What were we doing?
Yeah, this would be the good way to tell, too, like, how does Stefanski bring his team back after a loss? Because we know how Freddie handled it. More crap the next week.
Yeah.
So if they come,
get a T-shirt made.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They come out this week, and they look good again, and they're back to where they were, and the confidence is there. Then it's like, okay. These guys are playing for Stefanski. He's getting them up for the games.
And I mean, I could be wrong just from outside looking in. I think those guys buy into what he's doing.
I think so, too.
I mean, I think that the outside media obviously always is going to try to make a situation out of all the guys that you have. You have big-time personalities on that team. We joke around about it with Beckham. That guy looks at the camera weird, and we're like, you know, is there a trade coming, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, you know, people try to stir things up, but I genuinely think if those guys didn't care, you wouldn't see guys getting bent out of shape. You wouldn't see guys getting hyped up.
No, they're upset. Winners. Yeah. They like to win.
Yeah.
Well, and Browns fans, we kind of fall in accustomed to this because this is what we've been dealt with for the past two decades of losing football, you know, finally get a little bit of hope and then you kind of panic like,
It almost feels
like some Browns fans, I think, were 0-6.
Yeah.
Like, hey, we're still 4-2. This is still one of the best starts we've had in how long? Like, don't panic yet. You know, schedule is easy. It's favorable towards us. Dude. But how many times has it not been where it was like playing playoff team after playoff team? So we got a little luck on our side with the schedule we got this year. But you still got to go out there and win the games you're supposed to win.
Win those games because – at worst, I'm seeing the Browns sitting at 5-3 at the bye.
With a good chance to be 6-2.
Get
Nick Chubb back. You kidding me? If you would have told me when Nick Chubb got hurt that, hey, Nick Chubb's going to get hurt. He's going to be out a few weeks. He's probably going to come back maybe right after the bye. And you're going to be 6-2.
Sign me up, baby.
I don't care if we got beat 100-0 if you told me we were going to be 6-2 with Nick Chubb coming back.
Yep. With the easiest part of our schedule.
Yeah.
So, no, I completely agree. Like I said, I still see the Browns, to me, still hit 10 wins this year probably. Yeah. As long as this is a pivotal game to me. Just like you said, do we bounce back or do we crumble? You know, in years past, we crumble. So, I want to see the best coaching performance from Stefanski, how he gets these guys ready. I want to see Baker bounce back. Hopefully he can lift his arm up. I want to see everything bounce back this game, and I want to beat these guys by two scores.
This needs to be a punch in the mouth.
Yep. The Bengals should be nervous. The Bengals should be like, oh, man.
Browns just got beat up. We're in trouble.
Yeah. These guys are coming up. Yeah. So.
Need to get a couple of the turnovers back that we gave away this week.
Yep.
Be nice. Well, I guess if you think about it, think about New England all these years. Do you want to play New England after they just got beat?
No.
Never.
No.
They come out and pummel you.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see out of us. So. Yep. Hopefully that happens. That was a quick Bengals preview. Let's roll into our game picks. We're an hour in, so let's make this kind of quick.
We had a lot to talk about.
Yeah,
going into this week.
It was actually more civil than I thought it was going to be.
We got the bad stuff out of the way off camera.
If you read some of the text messages between me and Blake, you would think that this was
they weren't friends anymore.
Yeah, this is going to be the R-rated version of the show today. It wasn't too bad.
Yeah, so we'll go into just recap week 6. Yours truly took the win this week at 10-5, so making up some ground.
You know, things are crazy. If Zach won the week, things are turning around.
Things are turning around. Justin actually went 9-6, just one game behind me, actually, second place. And then Blake and Josh, first time that we had at least one person, we had two. You guys wanted to share it, go under 500, 7-8. and picks. And now this did include the game from last week. We included in these picks.
Bills and Chiefs.
Yes.
Yep.
So we now move into week 7. So overall records going into this week, Josh is sitting still in first place, 68-23, still in first place. Blake, second place, 5 games back, 63-28. Justin and myself are now tied for
last place.
Last place at 62-29.
A game out.
Only 6 games back, only 1 game out.
Gotta have a good week here.
Yeah, so yeah. Big week coming up, week 7. So we will start off with a great Super Bowl matchup type game with a Giant. Well, I guess it couldn't be in the Super Bowl. Giants at Philly.
NFC Championship.
Yeah.
Danny Dimes at Carson Wentz, which Carson Wentz, I don't know if anybody watched the end of that Baltimore game.
He's a baller. He's putting them on their back.
Yeah. And then I mean, all the momentum in the world, and then they ran a read option that they couldn't
do. It was so awful.
It was so bad.
It was so bad. I could not understand.
I was like, where's the Philly special or something?
Yeah, it's up in Chicago.
Yeah. So I'll start us off here. I'm going to take Philly in this game because I think their defense is good enough to win this game for them.
I'm going to go Philly also.
Yep. I'm all in on Carson
Danny
Wentz.
Danny Dimes over there. You're talking about. You know, this is one of those games where.
And no.
You said
Sanders,
you'd never pick a New York team.
Ah, you're right. I did
but,
say.
But you also said you'd never pick Philly. So are you just not picking something. Anybody and
Nobody
giving us the game?
Nobody from the NFC East, ever.
Well, are you just giving us this one? And
we'll you know what? Give me the Giants. I said I was going to do it.
Oh, I just threw up in my mouth.
Yikes.
Wow. Yeah, we're going to have to shut the camera off.
All right, so we got next game, Pittsburgh at Tennessee.
It's a good game.
Oh
man, Derrick Henry. We'll see how good that D line is this week because Derrick Henry, it takes more than just one guy to get to him.
No kidding.
I mean, the guy is a beast.
You guys go ahead and give me the Steelers. They roll 6-0.
I'm gonna go Titans.
Justin.
Tannehill's the difference.
Tannehill's the difference.
Tannehill's the difference.
We didn't get into it, but
yeah, absolutely. We did not. Yeah. No, we did not.
We'll let Tannehill be.
Yeah.
Who you got, Justin?
I'm taking Titans.
I'm going to go Pittsburgh as well, even though it's at Tennessee. Pittsburgh's offense is very good, and they didn't have to show it this week, but Chase Claypool is a monster.
Yep.
He's a big kid.
He's super good. Okay, so we'll skip over Cleveland, and Cincy, we'll go to Buffalo at the Jets.
Buffalo. I need Jets a big game really out of Josh good. Allen.
Bills.
Yeah, Flacco...
bounce back
for 176. Hopefully they get Darnold back. I'm going with the Bills.
Yeah, bounce back game.
What kind of dirt does Gase have on somebody?
That he keeps his job?
He's that.
I agree. I think you brought it up. They're like, hey, we really want to lose this season, and Adam Gase is going to do that for us. Because if we give the job to Greg Williams, he's going to do what he did in Cleveland. They're going to somehow win some games because he's going to blitz 11 guys on a couple plays and get some turnovers.
I don't know if anybody saw it, too. I can't remember exactly the wide receiver it was. They said, hey, if I'm Trevor Lawrence, I'm going back to
play. Oh, it was Roddy White.
Roddy White, yes.
Old Atlanta.
Yeah. Yep. Said, I'm cool.
I'm going back to Clemson and probably going to win another national championship.
Ray Finney posted it, but I was like, oh, boy, yeah. What a tough life.
Right. There were some people. Now, I agree in a sense, but also if you can go to New York and you are talented, like you'll blow up because it's New York.
Be Broadway Joe.
Yeah. So, okay, we'll move on to Carolina at New Orleans.
Drew Brees
coming off the bye.
I'm taking Saints on that.
I'm going to go Saints also.
Yep, Saints.
If CMC was coming back, which they're saying he's probably not, I might have thought about taking Carolina.
Why would he come back? I got Mostert hurt. I got CMC hurt.
Mark Ingram's doing
Mike
real
Davis
well.
I mean, why would he come back?
So because of that, I'm going to take New Orleans because I think Michael Thomas will be back this week as long as he doesn't get any more fights with his teammates. Takes us to Detroit at Atlanta.
That's a fun game.
That's probably going to be a little bit high-scoring game for you fantasy owners out there like myself. DeAndre Swift finally came through, and I had to play him this week. So I'm really
good for you.
Yeah.
I had Chris Carson on a bye, had to play Swift, and it worked out.
Good for you.
Who you got, Justin?
I'm taking Falcons.
Yeah, dude, as long as Julio's out there. Yeah.
Julio's
Matt
back.
Ryan
and
is
he's
okay.
He's back to close to 100%.
Yeah.
Him and Calvin Ridley are wide receiver ones
playing
on the same team.
Yep. But if Julio's out, Different story.
He didn't practice today, but
dude, he's playing.
He'll be
there. So, Josh, who you taking?
I'll take Falcons. Yeah.
Okay. Blake.
I'm gonna go the Falcons also.
I'm gonna go different. I'm gonna go Detroit. I picked them to win this week, and I mean they worked out for me.
The Falcons defense is. They might as well not even put anybody.
This is gonna be a high scoring game. I think it's a high scoring game, and it'll be a fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm.
So takes us into Andy Dalton and the Cowboys at Washington football team.
Oh,
there's
man.
So many.
The Washington football team did come out and say, we're probably going to keep the Washington football team as our name next year.
I saw that. I guess it depends.
All the names are bought by that one guy.
So. WFT for life.
If the Cowboys have another great week of preparation, maybe they'll be able to pull out this win.
Yeah, McCarthy, you think they're going to get the win here? Is it crazy that we're thinking that you put these teams on paper and it's not even close?
Washington's awful.
But you're literally thinking about having to take them.
I'm going to take Washington in this
one. All right.
Dallas's defense, that's another one.
That's another thing.
Don't even put them on the field. Don't even do it. Just give the other team 7 or 3 alternated.
What's his name? Van Der Esch back. I was like, maybe there'll be some kind of consistency to their defense. No.
And they tried to sell it as that, too, early in the game.
He's back. He's going to make some
plays. Kyler Murray had 9 completed passes, and they scored 38 points.
Yep.
Yeah, give me Washington. Antonio Gibson's going to have a big game because everybody has a big game against them.
I'm taking Cowboys. I'm not really sold on Washington either.
I said, the NFC East, how do you pick these teams?
Nobody wants to win there.
I am going to go Dallas as well. I think that Zeke has his best game of the year. Even though Washington's got a good front, I think Zeke's hearing about all the issues.
Dallas is 2-4, and they're leading the division.
Yeah.
We're 4-2, and we're third place. This is
probably the division lead right now.
And my boy Blake texting me, telling me we got to go get Matt Ryan.
All right, so we'll go to Packers after a beatdown in Tampa against Houston and Romeo Crennel. What were you doing going for 2 when you kicked the field goal? You're up 8.
Listen,
Romeo, I get it. I get it if you score the touchdown, you're like, okay, we're going to go for 2 to go up 8. You know, make them have to do everything right to beat us. Well, hey, they had to do everything right to force overtime and yep. –
I was so stoked. I was watching the game. I'm like, I'm the only guy that took Houston. We're doing it. Houston played great, and then here comes Derrick Henry just bulldozing everybody. But I will take Green Bay bounce back game.
I'm going to take the Packers also.
Oh, yeah, Packers. They're not going to look like garbage 2 weeks in a row.
I'm taking Houston. At home, they're putting up huge numbers.
Have a good week, Zach, and you're going to throw it all away.
We'll see.
He's going to be sending you text messages straight to Mexico.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll find out. Okay. Seattle at Arizona.
Seahawks.
Seahawks off a bye.
I'm taking Seattle.
Oh, you kind of hesitated there. I think I'm going to have to go with Seattle on this one. I'm not going to stray away from
Couldn't argue with the bye week, right?
Russell Wilson. I can't argue with Russell Wilson. Yeah. As long as he's playing, I'm pretty much taking him.
They're real close to signing Antonio Brown also, I hear.
I saw that they're interested in him. They're looking at him. Which Blake was giving Justin some slack for having him on his fantasy team still.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, so we got Jacksonville and Minshew against Herbert and the Chargers at LA.
Give me the Chargers.
Yeah, Herbert and the Chargers come out. I think they win this one kind of big, actually.
Yeah, because Gardner's who I said he was, Blake. He hasn't done much since the first couple weeks. Chargers. Yeah. Justin?
Chargers.
Okay, clean sweep there. Kansas City at Denver. Denver coming off a win against the Patriots at home against Kansas City.
Give me the Chiefs.
I'm taking the Chiefs as well, but just throwing out there, this is another one of those games that Denver normally plays the Chiefs and Mahomes well. It's just one of those division games. Almost anybody the Chiefs play in that division, they play well. If it's the Chargers, it's always a close game.
Raiders.
If it's Denver, if it's the Raiders, it's just something about it.
Yeah,
Chiefs.
Yeah, absolutely Chiefs. Yeah.
All right, we got to break up this trend here. Interesting game. San Fran, Jimmy G, against his old team, New England. No Mostert, looking like it's McKinnon. Jamichael Hasty, I think, is the one. And Jeff Wilson Jr. supposed to be back. Three-headed monster in the backfield, which we've seen before. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, McKinnon's just, he'll run for 107.
Not Debo, against the Patriots, though.
Debo Samuel is really good.
Yes.
And Ayuk, the other guy, he's also pretty talented good. As a well.
Rookie. Yep.
So, Josh, who you got?
What?
Putting you on the spot.
Give me Bill on a bounce back.
Give me not Bill. Give me San Fran.
I'm going to take a Patriots. I don't see them losing two.
Man, this is a tough one here.
And also the game they just played, they hadn't practiced in like 2 weeks. Cam hadn't practiced in a while. Give me the Patriots.
I just feel like the reason Tom Brady wanted to leave was the Patriots didn't have a whole lot of weapons that they surrounded him with. So what did they do this year? They brought the same roster in with just Cam Newton. So I'm going to go with San Fran as well. I'm going to go San Fran. So this moves us into Sunday Night Football. Tom Brady and the Bucks taking on the Las Vegas Raiders on Sunday night. Raiders had a bye this week, correct? I think.
Yes. Yeah. They're coming off a bye.
So they're coming off a bye and coming off a
win. Huge win. A big win.
Against Kansas City. So they're living high out there rolling slots in Las Vegas.
I'm going to go with the Buccaneers. I think their defense is really good, and I think, you know, they're figuring some things out on offense.
I'm thinking this roller coaster with the Buccaneers season is going to keep going, so I think the Raiders pull this one out.
Justin?
I'm going Buccaneers.
I'm going Raiders as well. I like Chucky.
Raiders.
I do love John Gruden.
Yeah. John Gruden's awesome. So we'll see if anybody's knocking on wood with me and Josh on that pick. Chicago at the Rams on Monday night. Good defense versus pretty good offense. Not much offense coming from Chicago. They're just doing enough. Their defense puts them in short fields. They're doing enough to score, turn some of those into points, and then defense holds everybody under 20 points.
Their defense is real good.
Yeah, Khalil Mack is still super, super talented.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna go with the Bears because I think the defense is just that good.
Justin?
I keep picking against Chicago, and I will continue to. I will probably continue to take losses on that, but I will go L.A.
I'm actually going to go the Rams here because I think this is one where Aaron Donald makes it. On primetime, I swear, he's always front and center.
I agree. So good. The Rams in primetime, their offense, too, just clicks, and they put up numbers. So I'm going to go.
Except for that Super Bowl they were in.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the Rams as well. So, Blake, you're the only one taking Nick Foles.
I'm not taking Nick Foles. I'm taking Khalil Mack.
So that's all of our picks, except we will circle back around. Cleveland at Cincinnati. Who we got? I'm not picking first this week because it didn't work out last week.
Go ahead, Josh. You want to start it?
Yeah, I did. I haven't really thought of a score, but I'll take Cleveland. I think we do got to score 30. I think we do score 30. So I think we're probably – I'll go 36 to 23. Some weird numbers in there.
Yep, I like that. Blake?
Browns, 38-21.
Justin?
Browns, 35-21.
Some high-scoring games from the Browns here. I'm taking the Browns as well. And I think we kind of have our way a little bit to them. And I think that we finally look decent on defense. I'll go we win 30-16. Only going to give up. I think our defense plays well with having film on Burrow. It's like it's one of those first games where teams have film on Burrow. They finally see, you know, what he's capable of, and they can make adjustments.
Yep.
So that wraps up all the picks for Week 7. Tune in to see if I make up any more ground or if I fall further behind.
I'll have to text you guys my picks or something next week.
Yeah, Blake will not be with us next week, so tune in to for
Wait,
the...
so you can't Zoom call in here?
What's Kiva, how's Kiva feel about you Zoom calling in on your guys' honeymoon?
Yeah, so we'll see, guys. Tune in next week. See how dedicated Blake really is to the fans.
As your host of The Dogs.
I don't know what he was doing, thinking about planning a wedding during the football season when we were on a podcast.
I don't think he did any of the planning for the wedding. If it was anything like my wedding, they asked me, hey, what do you feel about these napkins? And I said, do whatever the hell you want.
So I've had this discussion with Kiva, and she says that a lot of the stuff with the wedding, you know, Blake wanted the big wedding.
Considering that Blake texted us one time and said, I made it here, dear.
Yeah.
Yes.
We don't forget about that.
Yes. Yeah. So,
Zach watches This Is Us. Give me a break.
Now he's trying to throw shots at me.
Yeah. Let me just say real quick what we are watching. Well, I don't know about you guys getting ready for the wedding, but I'll be watching the Buckeyes Saturday.
Yes.
Finally back in action. Go get them. Nebraska, yeah. Knock them off. Let's see what Justin Fields looks like.
I will be at a wedding on Saturday. I will, just a sneak preview, if you're at that wedding, I'm coming out with the Cleveland Browns dog pound flag with my wife. So, nice. But congratulations, Blake. Big time. Very, very, something I never thought I would say to you personally. But I'm very excited to be involved with it, man. Very congratulations to both of you guys.
Well, thanks.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, so thanks for tuning in to another live episode of The Dogs. As you guys heard, I'll be absent next week, so you have to listen into these scrubs when they break down the Bengals game and preview our matchup with the Raiders. Remember to check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Please go subscribe on YouTube. Hopefully next time I see you guys, I'll be nice and tan, still married, and the Browns will be 5-2. So have a good week, everybody.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.